Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
In the Gospel reading we just heard, we see for the first time in Scripture the devil interfering in Jesus' life. And he does this very brazenly and poignantly right before Jesus is about to begin his public ministry, before he begins his work of salvation. Yes, Jesus came to work, to hand us the way and the means to salvation. This whole episode where God allows himself, because Jesus is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one, that God allows himself to be tempted and gives Satan that power over him to tempt him is a mystery that we cannot hope to understand. The humility, the utter debasing of God for us, for you and I, allowing Satan to have his way over him. Of course, Jesus rejects it, but God allows Satan to actually tempt him. Our Lord's temptations sum up every kind of temptation that man can experience. Because in the Scripture it says that in every temptation was presented to Jesus. And the three most common ones that we know are lust of the flesh, desire for glory, eagerness for power, wealth, fame. When Jesus is tempted, God does not act with the power, and Jesus does not act with the power that is rightly his. He does not allow his role, the creator of the world, to come into play. He allows Satan to do what he needs to do to teach us what we need to do. Rather, he shows us how to fight temptation for the rest of his life on earth and up to now, 2,000 years later, presents to us the way to fight temptation. Because, as we say, it's a thing. It happens. How do we fight temptation? Not with the way that God showed us, because God could have shown his power. We don't have that power. We are fallen. We will share his divinity, but not yet. So the methods that he shows us in the Scripture to fight Satan is through prayer, through fasting, 40 days in the desert. His watchfulness, not dialoguing with temptation. It's very frightening and poignant that we must remember that Satan knows Scripture. He is a fallen angel, very smart. He knows us, he knows our weaknesses, and he knows Scripture. He quotes Scriptures in today's reading. And having that word of Scripture on his lips, he tries to tempt our Lord, and he tempts us. The last way that Christ helps us and teaches us to fight temptation is putting our trust in the Lord and having Holy Scripture, having Scripture on our lips, on our minds, and our hearts to fight when that time comes. Jesus teaches us that no one should regard himself free from the possibility of some severe temptations, corruption, temptation proof. He even tells us in this gospel reading from this past Monday where that, why do you call me good? And that gospel reading this Monday, a young man runs up to him and states, Father, what must I do, good master? What must I do to earn eternal life? What is Christ? What is God? What is the Holy Spirit, the triune God, saying to this man? Why do you call me good? Jesus, God in the flesh, states, why do you call me good? Only God is good. What happens in that gospel is that go sell all your things, Christ says, and he can't do it. I have followed all the commandments, that young man says. Fine, but now go sell. Give all for all. Give all for God, and he can't do it. And astonishingly, he states, the apostles ask him and say, then who can be saved? And Christ is clear and states, for God, for man it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. So my brothers and sisters, let us know that this man's riches were that he was rich materially, but we also are rich, not so much perhaps in material things, but in the riches of our own ego, our own desires, our own wants, our own addictions, our own selfishnesses, our own narrow-mindedness, our hate towards our brother and sister for no reason. Maybe the way they look, or they look at us, or they sound, or what they do. We are rich of ourselves, full of ourselves. And God wants us to give everything, all for all. Let us know, and clearly in that gospel reading from Monday, from the Daily Mass, it states that it is easier for a rich man, whether material or full of himself, of ourselves, to go through an eye of a needle than for a camel. Sorry. Easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for man to reach heaven. But we know that salvation, in the final analysis, is pure gift. Pure gift that we will someday be with God. What we need to do is give God space to work in us, because we are not like Mary. What do we say when we say the Hail Mary? Hail Mary, full of grace. We are not. We lost that grace in the Garden of Evil, the Garden of Eden, with the evil of original sin. And God wants us to, wants to restore us. He wants to make us new that we may share his very nature. Guarantee, my brothers and sisters, that no one wants us to be like God himself. And he doesn't know what else to do. He becomes human like us. He is tempted like us. He becomes food and drink for us. We eat his flesh. We drink his blood. He becomes a prisoner for us in the tabernacle, waiting for us day and night. And what a gift to have the shrine here. A code in the back door that we can come and adore at any time in the night or in the morning when nobody's here. He's ready to hear our problems, to explore his mysteries, to understand his peace that can be our peace on this earth, even in the midst of trials and of great suffering. Our salvation consists in allowing God to do his work in us. Whether in the married life, in the single life, in the religious life, or the priestly life, to give all for all is not natural. And only God can complete this total oblation of giving it to him. It is possible, but without God, nothing is possible. And Satan knows this. The great deceiver knows this. And he fights and he knows our weaknesses, knowing that he has a certain power that God has given him, a certain limited power. But certainly it's the freedom that all the angels had in heaven before the fall. Because God can only love in freedom. We don't love if we control. He allows us to love Him freely. In this battlefield, which is our soul, we must either give space to God or Satan will take up that space. And St. Ambrose says, "Date locum," give God the space and fight the devil, because there is a battle. The loss of grace to do evil in original sin has left us broken, in disarray, tempted, ununited to God, our love. And we are in a recovery mode. Hence, Holy Mother Catholic Church, with all her sins, is a vessel of salvation. In today's last line of the Gospel, when the devil had finished every temptation, it states, it departed from him for a time. For a time. What does that mean? That the devil will tempt us and then leave us alone. And then he comes back. And to the very end of our lives, brothers and sisters, we will be tempted. We must not trust in our own righteousness, because we will fall. I wanted to tell you this because so many of you asked me about my daughter Cecilia in the convent. And we just got back this past Monday. We were there 3 days to visit her. She has a new name. Her name is Sister Cecilia Marie of St. Therese. And she is beaming. She is very happy. Painful, because when we left her on Monday, she said, "I'll see you in a year." Well, I only have so many 1 years left. But it is me, my selfishness. She is incredibly happy. To live with those sisters as we do for 3 days, a year, and share their prayer life, the Mass, to dine with them, to be with them, and there is a slice of heaven. The reason I bring this up is because I preached this gospel to them on Monday about the rich man and how his face fell and how hard it is to get into heaven and temptation. And a sister, one of the professed sisters, came up to me later on in the afternoon. She said, "I want to thank you for your homily, because I've been a professed sister for some time, and we have given everything. And I can tell you, even at my age, the temptation to everything that God allows doesn't stop until our dying days." So my brothers and sisters, let us call a spade a spade. St. Jose Maria Escriva states that the crises of the world are always the crises of a lack of saints. The church and all of humanity is only ever in crisis because of a lack of striving for holiness. They stand in need of saints at every time and walk of life. Leon Bloy, the great French novelist, Catholic, states, "The only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint." And he states that if we are not praying to the Lord, we are praying to Satan. If we are not seeking God, Satan is taking the space in our souls. Our Holy Father states, we need to be convinced that in the church that is holy, yet made of sinners, we find everything we need to grow towards holiness. And so, completely detached from all else that the world can offer to every temptation, let us fling ourselves headlong unto the bosom of divine providence, this God, this lover, this hound of heaven. Let us cling to him by way of affliction, carrying our cross, by duty, what presents to us each moment of the day, our interested hopes and desires. Let us pray for Holy Mother Catholic Church, for the clergy, and for the world. Let us pray for those that don't pray. Let us pray for those that don't know God, that knowing that the mercy of God is the ultimate gateway to heaven.
We must do our part. Let God do his, and in that, we will see him face to face.